Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everybody, welcome back to The Shift. I hope you've all had a lovely week. And I'm very excited about this week's guest. It's Ian Fidance. He has a podcast called Bye Guys and he tours all over the country here. He's an absolutely hysterical American comedian. So I told him from what I know about the sex education stuff that's going on back home in Ireland. So he then told me about his sex education and we both discussed what we think would be a good sex education for people. We also talked about labels and Ian talked about being bisexual and sleeping with men and women and about labels and how he feels about labels. So it was really great. He was very honest and I'm really glad that he came on and I really enjoyed the chat. So I think you guys will really enjoy the episode. If you want to see the video for it, as usual, it's on Patreon/The Shift Podcast. And if you guys want to hear more of like my private dating life, I put that on the Patreon just because I don't want to put it on the podcast because sometimes A, I don't have time to talk about it with the listeners, or B, it's like more private. So it's just on a more exclusive on the Patreon. I talk about who I'm seeing, situations that come up, how I deal with them and what I've learned from them. So just more private things, kind of like an Irish girl Sex in the City style podcast. Very open. If you think I'm open on this, Jay's is saying sign up to feckin' Patreon, and that's once a week and usually the episodes are 30 minutes to an hour. And then you get next week's episode up there early, which I already recorded with a matchmaker from Ireland. So he chatted to me a lot about that and everything that's going on there with matchmaking and the dating scene in Ireland. So it was really great. Very lucky to have him on. But I'm very excited about this episode, so have a listen. But again, Patreon/Shift Podcast, and I'll talk to you at the end of the episode. Did you have sex education here?
Yes.
Was it good?
No. Sex education is horrible. It's not good at all.
But what was it? So for the reason why I bring this up is because in Ireland now, the past 2 years, they've been trying to redo the sex education. But the Catholic Church has made a sex education, but they run 90% of the primary schools. So that's like the young people's schools. So they're basically their sex ed is going to be based off this word ethos, which I had to, was it like, you know, like, I guess that's like spiritual and shit like that. So not factual, really. And I'm sure part of it would be factual, but it's all like, you know, and their beliefs are marriage is only for man and woman. So is it going to be inclusive for LGBT? Is it going to tell? Also, they said something in it about how we're made to procreate with God. So it's all very far. It's just a bit mad. So they're pushing that through. And then, but then that'd be like most of the schools. So
are they for safe sex or are they for abstinence?
Well, the old policy was for abstinence. I'm not sure if the new policy actually mentions it. I should check that up. I couldn't see it anywhere, but their old policy up until recently was more abstinence or sex with their. I know that one sentence was sex is for committed or married couples. So they did say committed, but still.
Yeah. I think absence education is complete horseshit. I mean, we're animals that are meant to fuck and everyone's doing. There's everything is so sexualized now to the point of like you can't even turn on the radio without hearing a song that's describing explicit sex acts. So it's on everyone's mind all the time. And as our bodies are growing, you know, if you can't beat them, join them. You're not going to win them over with abstinence. Teach them the safety of sex. Teach them how to have sex, what to do, what is pleasure, you know, like guilt associated with pleasure. And just like my sex education was in a Catholic school and we learned all the parts of the body, but not how to work them, you know, or like not what to do in different situations, not what communication is in a sexual scenario, you know, not what is okay and what's not okay, you know, and because we don't get those messages and we don't get that very specific, important education, we just get told what our body does and then we learn everything else from pornography. And I think pornography is an incredibly destructive tool to learn from because it's not real. It's performative. It's, you know, a caricature of what sex is. And because of that, people mimic that and then they don't know how to deal with the actual intricacies of, you know, very human sexual interaction.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it should be. And I know our prime minister type of guy, or he used to be the prime minister, he's trying to push like a more factual base. He's also gay. So he's trying to push a more factual based sex ed, which I think that's what it should be. I think it should be nothing to do with your, unless you're addressing shame and guilt and all of that. But also, I think if you just teach kids, like you said, like if you just are real with them and teach them how to be safe and consent and all of that stuff, they go in there with the skills and they're less likely to have to kind of not know what's happening. Or like, I feel like if you push abstinence, it makes it more like a taboo. So you're doing it, then you're not able to get the help that you need because you feel so much shame. People are still doing it. Oh. No one's not doing it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just like Trump being like, COVID numbers are going down because we're not testing. It's like when you ignore it, the problem's still there, you know? And it's, I mean, I don't understand why we're not teaching how to pleasure women or what is pleasurable for men. You know, like men's G-spot is in their prostate. And there's nothing wrong with, you know, exploring that. And that doesn't mean you're gay, you know, like, it's okay to make a woman come, and oral sex is very important, and there's different techniques, and because you can't do it right doesn't mean you're, you know, insufficient or whatever. And because a woman can't come doesn't mean she's broken, you know, like there's many different, sex is so mental. We don't address that. And I think they should be teaching how to have proper anal sex, because I've heard so many horror stories about, you know, guys just try to jam it in and then it ruins anal for the girl, and anal can be very pleasurable, but it ruins it because they have one negative experience and they don't want to do it again because nobody knows, you know, we're just sticking our dicks in the dark, blindly poking whatever we can. And it can be a real, you know, I think it can open people up to way more things. And instead of, you know, addressing, you know, gender and the different binaries and how that's acceptable, that's such a fucking minefield of mental gymnastics. It's like, start with the basics. Just start simple about what sex and sexuality is and how to have proper, safe, mature sex, because you're going to do it anyway. You might as well learn how to do it right.
Yeah. And that's the thing. They don't even have to cover it. Like, I'm sure, like, teachers as well, it's also asking teachers to do this now and they might be uncomfortable, but it's like, you, if you do it factually, it's not uncomfortable, and it doesn't have to be in too in depth. Let's say if you were to say, if they talk about porn, they could just say, look, that's a performance the way an action movie is. Like, you're not really going to drive your car off the bridge and be fine. Teaching that, and that's not even getting, nobody will get uncomfortable saying that, because you're not being like, you're not showing a porn clip and being like, you see the way she's choking on the dick? You don't have to do that.
Yeah, totally. No, you got to be like, look, if you hide behind a car door and someone shoots it, you're still going to get shot and die. Movies aren't real. Porn's not real. And I think it puts teachers and, you know, educators in an awkward position because they're ill-equipped to be teaching this. There needs to be, you know, from the health department, sexual education people that have taken courses and know how to communicate and have a very frank discussion with, you know, I mean, it's, you know, you get into the realm of like, well, I don't want to introduce these ideas to kids, but you know, they're going to figure it out anyway. You know, I think you know, kids are getting more sexually active at a younger age, and they're looking at pornography younger and younger, and it's so accessible. You got to nip it in the bud. You know, you can't just assume that people are dumb. We're all so stupid, you know, we're not going to figure it out. It's going to be terrible. So he needs some help.
Yeah. And it's the same way kids are able to, I was watching horror movies since I was younger, like really small. Like if there had been porn available, I'm sure it just wasn't as accessible. But even like for me, I'm 30. The first time I had sex was when I was a month before my 16th, so 15. But it was like, I didn't use a condom and I was definitely kind of bullied into it a little bit. But that's also not his fault. He just wasn't taught about consent. And he was also young, you know, and like we just didn't know what we were doing. And then I had all this fears that I was pregnant. No one told me about HPV, which I have now, probably because of that. But it's like, if basics had been covered, like I probably wouldn't have had it so early and I probably would have been able to communicate more what I want or what I didn't want. And I definitely didn't want to do that. I just was like, oh, I guess so.
Totally. Yeah. And I mean, consent is very important. And, you know, like also handling rejection, if you're told no, that it doesn't mean that you're bad or whatever, you know, like people are comfortable and uncomfortable with certain things. You know, I think, you know, checking in for consent every 15 seconds or whatever is a bit much. You know, we kind of cool it with that.
You know? Are you sure?
Yeah.
Every
yeah,
stroke.
Really ruin the moment, you know, like, is it okay if I do this? Is it okay if I do that? It's like, well, fucking also we need to teach social cues as well, you know. But it's, you know, and psychologically speaking, there is a thing of like, sometimes, you know, no means yes and it's hot. You got to know the difference, you know, like, you know, there's a difference between coercion and, you know, like foreplay for a while, you know, and like taking your time or whatever, you know. And I don't know, it's like such a nuanced thing. And having the Catholic element of the shame and guilt and everything that is associated with it is fucking terrible.
Yeah. And like, that's the thing. I don't think religions should be involved in schools at all. I was very shocked when I saw 90%. Like, Ireland confuses me sometimes because we just got gay marriage a couple of years ago, we got abortion a couple of years ago, and then we had a case where a woman was raped and they use a tong as the defense for the rapist. So they were like, well, she was wearing a tong. So like, that was all around the same time. So it's like, and now the Catholic Church, and I'm so surprised even with the Catholic Church, because they're still in trouble for so much. Like, I'm like, now why are you getting involved in sex education? I just don't think religion should be in schools at all. And I'm sure there's a couple of listeners who won't agree with me on that maybe, but I think that can be something that you do on your Sunday or you do at home and your parents can teach you. And then you can go to like Catholic Saturday school. But why? I didn't realize so many churches were still run by the church, or so many, schools were so, that the church was still so heavily involved in my country.
Yeah, I mean, I think Sunday school is important, you know. I think some sort of tradition is good, whatever it may be. Some sort of, you know, value tradition that's, you know, slowly pumped into life rather than indoctrinated into a child's life, you know.
Yeah. And
I think a secular aspect to it would be important as well, you know, like not just such this archaic draconian view of Catholicism and religion, you know, with the fire and brimstone and shame and guilt and judgment and everything, but more of a secular understanding of it in the realm of the traditional Catholic Church. You know, physically going to a place every week for worship, but it doesn't have to be, you know, the classic understanding of what Catholic worship is. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I also think as well, when you bring in morals into teaching sex, like I get it for quiz of shame and stuff like that, but let's say if you teach it more factually, like, oh, there's STDs, and not in a scary way, but if you just give people the tools, I think actually less young people would have sex because.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If they knew what was out there. I mean, honestly, my mom told me about STDs and was like, struck the fear of God in me about STDs. To this day, I'm still like, I don't even know if I want to go and hook up right now because there's things out there, you know? And then like, I'll be with someone and before we're even together, I'm like, are you clean? Is, you know, even that conversation is important to have, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I used to do this thing where I wouldn't ask first, but afterwards I go, hey, I just want to let you know I have herpes. And they go, what? I go, I'm kidding. But do you, you know, that was like how I.
Oh, because then if they're like, me too, you're like, oh no.
Yeah. That was my way of finding out if they have it. You know, like, I have herpes. Kidding. Wait, do you? You know.
And no shame to anybody who has it, but telling a child, like, I think very young, I think it should be very young, because I knew a kid who had sex when he was 12 and he didn't know what he had done. And, like, he came to us about it. So, because I was part of this group thing, but anyway, won't get into it. But the point is that if you tell children about herpes and, like, even your fear there, like, saying about hell, I don't know hell. I've never met hell myself. But, like, it's not a realistic fear even as a child. But you telling me I could have to deal with, like, or even gentle warts, or the fact I pay $250 a year to get HPV scraped out of my vagina. I care about money, okay? If you would have told me as a child, and that would have been very expensive. So if you were like, I would have assessed the risks better. I definitely would have forced the guy if I knew that I was going to get HPV and it was going to cost so much and there was a risk of cancer. I would have been like, wear a condom. Like, I had a lot of condomless sex when I was younger. Fuck's sake.
Yeah, and I think also education about how herpes isn't a death sentence, you know. And
exactly, yeah.
Stigma around STDs where, you know, a lot of them are livable and treatable, but they're looked at as this huge boogeyman. It's like, I don't want to get one, but I also want to know that if I do, it's not the end of the world. It's not, you know, a scarlet letter. And I think teaching kids that at a young age, I don't know why it's such a taboo topic. You know, there's this push to teach them about gender and everything, which is such a more difficult concept to wrap your head around at such a young age. It's like, figure out sex first. And then, you know, like, let's tackle gender and respectability politics later, you know?
Yeah. I don't know what they're doing with gender in Ireland. I do know that they're trying to hopefully include more for LGBT, but I don't know about gender. I know that I met someone here after a show and the guy came up to me and I guess I talked about sex education in a joke and he said that his granddaughter is 13. He was very positive about it, but he said they've included teachers 72 genders. And that's how I found out there were 72 genders, because I was like, I thought there was three. Okay. I didn't know. So that is, you're right, that's a lot to cover for sure. I think, yeah, definitely the practical sex stuff first.
Totally. And I feel like sex and what we're talking about is very cut and dry. I feel like it's, you know, very, like you said, factually based. You know, there's a lot of facts, a lot of misunderstanding about the facts. But with gender, there's a lot of ambiguity and questions and gray area and, you know, flip-flopping and, you know, like, you are whatever you feel you are. Well, feelings come and go, you know, feelings are not factual. You can feel something one day and feel something the other. And then tying a, you know, definition on that feeling, I think, is more dangerous than giving someone factually based information on the acts in which they're going to be engaging in.
Yeah. And I wonder, so with your sex education, you said it was just, was it religious? What was your school religious?
Yeah, it was Catholic. So we got like diagrams of the vas deferens and the vulva and, you know, the clitoris, and everyone's initial reaction is like, ew, gross, ew, you know, and it's like a hairy, gross vagina and, you know, like a weird lumpy penis, you know, and we're learning it from a priest who's, you know, it's like teaching us how to take driver's ed, but the instructor's blind, you know?
Yeah. So that's why I don't know. When I read Irish bishops, I was like, you're the last people to be given sex advice, right?
I know. Yeah. It's insane, you know? And there's, and I went to an all boys school. So there's a lot of, you know, embarrassment. We're all exploring our bodies, but we're acting like we're not. And if you get found out to, you're made fun of, you know? So everyone's like figuring out how to jerk off and everything. And like, what to do, but then if you ask a question about it, you get made fun of, you know. And it's like, all these things are natural questions to ask. It has to be, you have to lead with love and understanding while you're teaching these topics so that the kids don't get, you know, a complex. But yeah.
I wonder how they plan to, I don't know what the full thing for masturbation is as well. I wonder what they're planning to, I can't imagine the Catholic Church is going to be like, yeah, do it, it makes you chill.
Yeah, I mean, it's that, and then is that a sin? And then you think, you know, you have this natural inclination to pleasure yourself, and then you associate pleasure with sin, and then the things that are giving you pleasure, you associate that with like wrong, and it can really fuck people up. I mean, you know, it's It's incredibly toxic. And I mean, again, like, kids are a lot smarter than we give them credit for, but they're so dumb at the same time. They just need a little bit of guidance, you know, and I feel like we're failing them. Sexuality is becoming such a big part of life and in the public consciousness to put these people and move them forward to where they're ill-equipped to deal with something that's very base, I think is dangerous. You know, I think it also helps communication skills better, you know, being able to communicate in that moment and share how you feel, you know?
Well, exactly. Because if the teacher is able to talk about it without sounding like embarrassed or guilty or shameful, then they're hearing that. So then they'll be able to have those conversations with future partners or even with their parents if something happens. Like, yeah.
I also don't think they should be showing like explicit sex or like pornography or like have a bunch of dildos on a table. No. Here's a sex toy. Here's a Sibian that you're supposed to ride. You know, like I just think a cursory overview that steers away from like embarrassment and shame and just very black and white explanation of what things are and that it's okay and everything, I think would benefit people way more than, you know, just diagrams of what your body parts are and then moving on to the next subject.
And when they did the diagrams, they weren't like, oh, you know, they didn't talk about like clitoris for pleasure or that the, you know, masturbation or anything like that. Or did they talk about sex or did they talk about abstinence?
I don't remember. I mean, it was, you know, sex was a sin and you know, masturbation was a sin. And, you know, it was like just this weird thing. I mean, it's a total mind fuck, you know. I used to pray and masturbate. I would pray for forgiveness while I was masturbating because I felt so much shame from it.
It's awful. It's actually ruining the thing. That's so hard. I never masturbated until I moved over here, and the listeners know that, but it's just because no one really talked about it. And I remember when I was 13, guys being like, oh, look, that girl has long nails. That means if they have short nails, ew, it means they touch themselves. And like,
what?
Yeah, it's the only way I get off now in sex is if I touch myself. I can't, like, I literally had so much sex where I was never being pleasured, but I was just like, oh, sex isn't that great, you know? Until I still learned my body and like got over the shame, and I was like, oh, sex is great, you know?
Yeah. And sex is great when you communicate and have someone that's willing to listen. And, you know, but that conversation can be awkward about like, what can I do to make it more pleasurable for you? You know, like, is there anything you have to frame it like, I really like getting you off. What can I do to help get you off? And those conversations are hard to have, but you have to have more of them to get better at them. But, you know, like, yeah, I was so bad at sex for a while. I just didn't know, you know, you just don't know. And I mean, that's part of growing up too. You don't want to just like pump kids out that are like really great at sex from a young age. It's like, you know, being a part of growing up is being awkward and fumbling around and figuring it out. Yes. But when you have more knowledge, you're more equipped to fucking course correct, I guess, faster.
And it's also just you're more equipped, again, with safety and consent. And I think all of this comes down to people will have conversations about consent if they're able to just talk about sex instead of being like, ugh. But so this is the way I want the sex ed to be. OK, I want it to be. Wait, let me think. I want it to be very practical. Like, OK, this is the penis and this is the vagina. I know that unfortunately there'd be a diagram and look, it's Ireland. It'll probably be some old, ugly vagina. But like you said, but I wanted to cover like, it's okay to masturbate. That's totally fine. Just don't do it in public. Know your levels. You know, consent is just really checking in and making sure that the person wants to do it and there's no harm in asking that. And then condoms to keep yourself safe. So then they'll talk about like all the different STDs. And then the other forms of, you know, like the pill and stuff, but also that they don't protect you against STDs, which I think a lot of young people forget. They go on the pill and they're like, I'm fine, I can fuck now. And then so just really, really in detailed information about the STDs. And then what was the other thing I was going to say? I had a good one and I lost it. Sex. Oh, pubes. Also just like body hair and body shape and whatever, that just because if you see it in porn that there's nothing there, that's not how all women are going to look. That's not how, that shouldn't be the expectation. And then also what they do in porn, like if, you know, like violence, like choking and stuff like that. And I do think they should cover that too, because young women will expect, if that's what guys want, a lot of time young women are people pleasers. I don't know, I don't think it's the same with men, but we're just like, sure. And what do you know? And kind of, so then the guy is like, well, I saw this in the porno, you know? So I think talking about the different types of sex and then I 100% think they should talk about that.
Yeah, totally. I mean, they're seeing it happen anyway.
Yeah.
And it's better to have people educated about it than to just be choking each other out in a bedroom and not know what that is. I will say, I don't know why we're all into choking now. It's very, very strange that everyone just seems to be totally on board with that. I mean, we have to look at our collective trauma as a nation. I mean, you know, maybe we've witnessed so many school shootings, we realize we're close to death, and it's, you know, that's turned into a form of pornography. So maybe that's why we're getting we're all getting choked during sex. I don't know.
I don't know. I wonder. I don't think the Irish listeners can message in, the ones that listen to this, but I don't think I never heard of choking until I moved over here. And I don't want to be choked. It's not something, I love being alive. I don't want to be on the edge of being alive. I don't even like walking close to the wall on the roof, you know? So that's not something I could ever enjoy or get behind. I also don't like when guys slap my arse because it makes me feel really demeaned. And I love sex and I'm all for it. And I love pleasure. And I love like I've come so far since I was here. I didn't know about licking balls. I didn't know about, because no one fucking told me. I know there's no way I would have ever figured that out. Even like, it takes you so long even just to figure out how to blow someone because right. No one tells you, or to wet your hand when you're like giving a hand job. The amount of guys I probably hurt.
Yeah, I'm all rug burns.
Yeah, and sure, girls just talk with girls, so we don't know. And then I'm sure guys are just like, they don't want to embarrass, so they don't say, and then they're just going through pain or whatever, or they don't communicate what they want.
I was at a sleepover in seventh grade, and my buddy, I'll never forget, he goes, I heard girls like it when you grab their boobs like this. And in hindsight, it's like, we were only hung out with each other. Where'd you hear this? What girls are you talking to that are telling you they like this? And then now I just take that information. I go, this is what girls like, you know? So it's just, you know, you're playing this game of telephone, and then the message is totally confused by the end of it.
Yeah, and like you said before, that'll all still happen, and that's, you know, and that's fine. But I think it's more just about giving them the tools, the best tools that they can go out there with, for sure. Like, I would have loved if someone said that it was okay for a woman to masturbate when I was like 13. Oh, Jesus, I would have had a great life. I wouldn't have cared that someone was bullying me at school. I'd be like, I'm so chill, got this. But yeah, no. Oh, I was good. Oh yeah, the choking thing. And what was the other thing they do here? Oh, the slapping the arse thing. Yeah, that makes me feel demeaning because I was worried. I'm like, oh, I think guys like that, so I don't want to ruin it for them. But I just always say, no, don't do that. And then they're fine. But most guys here like an old tap on the arse. And it just makes me feel like I'm not your horse, you know? We're not like you're whipping me to make me go faster.
What I'm hearing when you say that is that you had a good childhood.
I actually didn't. I haven't spoken to my mother in 13 years.
Oh, wow.
I had like a really, really fucked up, emotionally abusive, like mental stuff. Like, it's insane that I am as well equipped as I am. But I think it's because for me, after 18, when I walked out, everything was like so nice that I'm always like, oh, I'm so happy to be like, life is good. I feel free. But yeah, no, so I should like to be choked and slapped. I don't know, but I really love myself now, so.
Wow, maybe that's what it is. You have high self-esteem and self-love and self-worth.
But I know girls who have high self-esteem and self-worth, and they're like, yeah, I love a good slap. So I think, yeah, I guess it just depends on what you're into. But do you like slapping?
Yeah. I mean, I also like getting choked. So, you know, you know, I'll choke you, you choke me, let's go. Let's choke each other at the same time, you know? Yeah. We're just choking each other. And
you start being like, I hate my mother.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. I mean, there is something physically about, you know, like when you cut blood off, you feel more pleasure. So people do get pleasure out of it. It's not just like it can be a psychological thing, but it is a physical thing as well. Autoerotic asphyxiation is a very real thing, you know, and people end up dying from it.
You know what, though? I wonder if, because for me, because I masturbate still to this day. I've been here 6 years. I think I started masturbating like 4 years ago or 3 years ago. Not a long time. And I can just do it. I don't think about anything. I can do it. Like most nights, I don't think about anything. It just feels good. So I do it. And the many people I talk to are like, even girls here, they're like, you don't have to watch porn anymore. And I use a vibrator sometimes just because that's like, you know, it's like good crack. You're like, wow, that, if I have like 2 seconds, but I don't really, I don't need it. Or if it's like someone I'm having sex with and my hand is too tired, I like whip out the vibrator. But other than that, I don't need it. So I just wonder if there's something about being introduced to porn at a too young age, or certain stuff as a too young age, maybe you get a bit desensitized. Like I still don't watch porn. I should probably, to learn some techniques. I think I might, just to have a look. But because I spoke to some guys about it and they were like, just have a look. Not guys that I had sex with, they were on the podcast and they were saying it can be a good educational. I don't know. I also love sex and I know what I'm doing, so I don't think I need to, but I will, just for the podcast, just to see.
Yeah, do some research, why not?
But do you think, okay, so sorry, this is a crazy train of thought. And before the listeners messaged me going, oh, this is wrong, it's just a stupid train of thought. But do you think people who like being choked is because they've already reached, like they've already gotten loads of pleasure from this thing, so they're going to another level maybe?
Wow, maybe. I mean, I think it is, you know, like drug addicts end up, you know, the amount you do doesn't get you high anymore, so you have to do more. I do think you can get desensitized to stuff, and then like what you get into gets, you know, raunchier and weirder and wilder. And I think it, you know, there's, I'm not an expert. I don't know.
Me neither. That was literally just a thought that came through my head, and someone's going to email me and be like, they're going to be like, are you saying not to masturbate? And I'm going to be like, no, masturbate every day. Okay. I'm just curious if there's something in it for some people that they always have to go a level up.
Yeah. I mean, I think, it, you know, like I have a joke I'm working on now where I'm like, you know, I used to get excited to go Easter egg hunting on Easter. And now if we're both not on life support by the end of sex, I'm not coming.
Yeah. So there you go. Like last week's guest, Roxana, she's amazing. She's from Ireland, but she said that she was watching so much porn and going down porn rabbit holes that all of a sudden she was only getting off this like wild stuff that she'd never be able to have in like a real life. But it was just because of her porn addiction or porn. Oh, I hope she said addiction, or I hope I just didn't just call her a porn addict, but porn love.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, also like fantasy is a weird thing where I've fantasized things about things that when I've had the opportunity to do it in real life, I'm like, no, thank you.
I know. I fantasize about having sex with women, but anytime it comes to it, I'm like, oh, I'm going home. And I don't know, it's just because I'm like, I don't want to commit to the real, or two men. I'd love to have sex with two men, but it's never happened. And I don't know if I ever would. Part of me just likes the fantasy of it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just because you have a fantasy doesn't mean you need to act on it, you know?
Yeah. I also daydream about being like a president sometime, which I never want to be, but it's just like a cute, what would I do? What speech would I give?
Yeah.
And aliens, I daydream about aliens. They're not coming.
Yeah. Yeah. I daydream about being a sanitation worker. You know, I mean, we all have different fantasies we want to fulfill.
Yeah. And so also I wanted to talk to you as well about it, because I wanted to get the male perspective. Roxana last week talked about being bisexual, and you're open about being bisexual.
Mm-hmm.
Which is also interesting as well for the sex ed, because for the sex ed stuff, I don't think, obviously, the Catholic Church isn't going to really be able to include LGBT. They might say they can, but they won't, because they believe, you know, man and woman stuff, unless you're, well, anyway. But you know what I was going to say, but we won't get into that. But and when did you discover you were bisexual?
I mean, I, again, like the pornography thing plays into it, because you know, got into gay porn when I was younger and would look at that. And I thought that I was gay for so long, but I've always been attracted to women, you know, so I date women and I love women, but I have acted out sexually with men. I don't think I could date a man. I don't think that I could be intimate with a man. You know, I've dated trans women, I've been with trans women, but I'm attracted to the feminine, but yeah. Sometimes, you know, I guess I just get so horny. I'm like, well, I can't find a gal and this guy's kind of girly, so let's do it, buddy. You know?
It's very similar to kind of what Roxana said as well. She said she seems to date more long-term men, but she will sleep with women, or has dated short-term women. And right. It's interesting.
Yeah. And I mean, it is a thing of like bisexuality is way more prevalent in women. And, you know, there is like a thing where for guys, it's more like, you're gay, bro. Just say you're gay. Come on. You're fucking gay. And I get that pushback from straight people, and I get that from gay people. And it's incredibly annoying, and I really dislike it. And, you know, it's just a weird thing. But I, you know, I'm not saying it's weird. It's just different. It's not the, I don't even know what the norm is, but I know what I am, and I'm attracted to women, and I've been with men. And sometimes, you know, I have a fantasy about being with men. That's part of my fantasy. But then when I get the chance, oftentimes I'm like, ah, no thanks. It's too much work, you know. But I have been with men, so I'm not totally fucking straight, you know. But I'm also not gay. I'm somewhere in the middle, you know. Sexuality is a spectrum. And I guess for lack of a better term, I am bisexual. But I very much more so lean towards being straight. But with guys, it's very much like nobody believes you that you're bi. They hear that and they're like, oh, you're fucking gay. Or guys will be like, I've never seen you with a guy. You're fucking lying. You're not really bisexual, or you're not fucking gay. And I'm like, I never said I was gay. You're the one that put that on this. And it's your idea of, you know, one or the other that is your definition of what I am. Who the fuck are you to tell me what I am?
Why do they even get involved in it? It's so weird. I never. Well, it's
because I've been open about it.
But so, I mean, but even still, if you're like, I'm 90% straight, I'm 10% whatever, anything else, whatever you want to say you are, that's fine. The fact that people are like, nah, you're like that, they feel they have to label you or put a label that they have to be like, what are you exactly, is always strange to me.
Well, I mean, there's a phrase, bi erasure, that people erase bisexuality by being like, you're either this or that, you know, and then it comes into like, well, you get to choose. You know, or like, you're just selfish because you want it all, you know, or these other things about, you know, like, it's very strange. And, you know, I am happy to talk about it because I know it helps people. And I know a lot more people feel the way I do than, you know, they're willing to admit. But it is, you know, not that it's a cross to bear, but it does get pretty annoying when people question me or my sexuality when it's not really up to them, you know. But it's a strange thing that we talk about homophobia and transphobia and everything. But there's no bi phobia. Nobody's afraid of bi people. They just don't understand it. And I think bi people don't even understand it 100% either. You know, it's like you're caught in between these two worlds, you know. And I just say I date and I love women. But, you know, I'll fool around with the fellas once in a while, you know. But it's not... For me, I don't think I want to end up with a guy. Some other bi people may, but you know, I think it's called like heteronormative bisexual. I'm not sure. Heteroromantic, I think. I don't know.
That's what I am. Cause I would definitely see myself at some stage eating a girl out. It just hasn't happened yet. Maybe I'll end up with a guy now tomorrow and be with him for 30 years. And then when I'm like 70, I'll be like, come here, vagina. But I mean, like, I find certain women attractive. So, and I've kissed a bunch of women, but I would have never called myself bi because I wouldn't have dated women. And I couldn't.
That's another thing, is that if people hear that you've made out with women, they're like, oh, Katie, she's fun. But if a guy makes out with a guy, everyone's like, oh, dude, you're gay. Just say you're gay, you know? And that's very funny to imagine you in your deathbed and your one wish is to have the nurse sit on your face.
Come on. I missed out on this.
And I
think for me, I feel kind of guilty when I think about having sex with a woman. So there has to be something in. But I've also used to feel guilty about having sex with a man. And then I felt guilty about masturbation. And I just pushed myself to get through that. So I do think at one stage I will, for sure, even if it includes another guy, maybe just to see. Maybe not. But I'm way more open to it the older I get and the more I'm in America. And it feels less shameful. But I'm also in a world where people talk about sex all the time and they're so comfortable. And not everybody's in that world where it's so... Like, I was at a sex club. I can't imagine. I only went for the podcast, but Katie in Ireland didn't even know that sex clubs really existed. I thought that was like, I never thought about it. No one ever said anything. I, you know.
Wow. So do you think America has kind of turned you? America has poisoned you? Poisoned this innocent girl?
In a good way?
You always were, and America's allowed you to be yourself.
No, I think, yeah, I think it's New York let me be who I wanted to be without kind of, because in Ireland, especially small towns, everybody knows each other. And there is an element of like, oh, sure, look at your woman, like, what's she doing? And people don't mean it, but especially small communities. So I'm sure that's in other countries of America too. But New York, you could, I could hang around with you tomorrow. And then if I never want to see you again, we wouldn't have to see each other and we could still live in the same borough. You know, it's like you can, and then we are in the comedy community and like, then with me and Des doing this podcast, I met so many sex educators and stuff. So like I was introduced to people comfortably talking about sex, which it wasn't like in Ireland at all, or where I was growing up. So, and like, I wasn't like super innocent. Like I'd had like maybe six boyfriends that I slept with. And then when I broke up with my ex for 3 years, I decided to do like one night stands. And I had like a bunch, I had like a few one night stands, but they were shy because I wasn't orgasming. I didn't orgasm until I moved over here. And I was like, oh, so I didn't have like a sexual revolution because I just felt guilty. It's like, I don't know what a good analogy is, but it'd be like when you eat too much pie or something, you feel sick. It's like you didn't get the, you feel like, oh, I didn't. But if you haven't eaten pie for like a week and then you have one slice, you're like, oh, this is great. This is a shit analogy. But you get what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, I understand.
The exercise now, without the pleasure.
Yeah. Well, you know, you said you're attracted to women. I won't check guys out on the street. I never see a guy that I'm like, oh, I want him. It's always kind of, you know, I'm also manic depressive. And when I'm in a depressive state or a high mania state, I want to act out just to feel. And it's much easier to get a guy than it is to get a girl, you know, and I check women out all the time. I'm such a fan of the female figure and women are just so attractive to me. And I never am walking down the street and I'm like, ooh, that's a hot guy. That's not me. I don't know. I can't explain it. You know, I'm like very, very straight, but I've acted in gay ways. So I don't know. It's just weird because everyone wants to put you in a specific box. And, you know, we're so identity based and it's nice being unique and being my own person, but it's very alienating at the same time because I don't really know where I fit in, you know?
Yeah. I think there's way more people like that. I believe, and I'm probably wrong, but that more people are more bisexual or on that sexual spectrum than they are straight or gay.
If a guy hasn't been with another guy, you just haven't met the right guy. You know, you haven't met like the right effeminate guy for you or the right type of thing that ticks off a box for you. Not everyone is like that. I'm not saying everyone's attracted to guys, but I feel like it is definitely a spectrum that people fall in the middle on more often than not. And they just kind of, you know, I struggle with putting my own shit on other people or just trying to have an honest conversation about the fact that, you know, it is very much a shade rather than just two colors.
Yeah, I agree with you. And like, so let's say if I didn't say I fancy women sometimes, it's much rarer than men, but I also don't fancy a lot of men. You know, I see men all the time and I'm like, ugh, ugh, ugh. And then I'm like, ooh. And then so maybe women would be like, no, like less of that, but still. So it's like, you could say, oh, like, let's say if I only fancied men and you could be like, you're straight, you like men. And it's like, yeah, but I like 1 in 10.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Also, I have to say, in coming out and experiencing men, I empathize so much more with women. I think all men should be with other men to really get some empathy and perspective because guys fucking suck. And it's whether they're straight, whether they're gay, whether whatever, they're all a bunch of fucking sex crazed, sex hound, fucking lunatics. The amount of DMs I get of guys that are like, I want to fuck you, or like, can I suck your dick? Blah, blah. I'm like, oh God. And I rarely get that from women. And usually it's, you know, like some deranged whatever, you know, I'll welcome it. Why not? I won't act on it. But I get so many gross comments from men. And I think it's just this animalistic thing inside men. And then guys just have an easier time fucking each other than they do with women.
And can I ask you, so I know like every single woman or most women I know have had issues where like consent has been an issue. And so you've been with women and men. Have you found with men that you've slept with that you've had to be like, no, wait, don't, like, you've had to repeat yourself a couple of times and be like, listen to me, I don't like that?
I think guys, I don't know if it's just inside of us, we're just way down. We're way more down to just do it. And I have, you know, like showing up with a woman, there's a lot of like, well, let's watch a movie and let's, you know, this, and then we'll figure it out. But I've showed up at guys' houses and they're naked when they answer the door. And it's like, well, I know what I'm here for, you know? Okay, and that's okay. Never happened with a woman unless we've been like dating and established some sort of connection, you know, like that they'll show up in a robe naked underneath. But a guy will do that. And I'm like, well, this is, let's get down to a bit. Like one time I went to a guy's place and it was very like, oh, you're an artist. Oh, where's your, oh, I like your work. And he was like, well, my roommate's not going to be home for a little while, so let's just kind of get to this. And I was like, fair enough, Philip. Thank you.
He was like, can you just cut the small talk?
Yeah, totally. Guys are cut to the chase way more than girls are, unless you have an established relationship with a girl and you kind of know each other and you're more comfortable. I think guys are easier at dropping their guard and just that carnal, I need to come, let's do this right now. And I think it takes longer for women to feel more comfortable with the person to do that.
I wonder as well with women, is it an element of shame where you're like, I need to feel like I've had a conversation first, I've had a cup of tea, I've had a drink, and like, so that you can feel comfortable in regards to having sex, but also with your brain. Like, I know for me, it's like, I would have always made sure, oh, like, I'll be like, oh, I'll have the third date or whatever, I've really gotten to know them, so I feel comfortable. But it has to be an element of shame to it.
I, you know, I'm not a woman. I can't, I'll never know. I can only speculate. And I don't know. Maybe women are just more nurturing and yeah. You know, I mean, I really feel like we've gotten away from the fact that we are animals and we do have these instincts and these characteristics that are all equal inside all of us. And I feel like women are way more nurturing and want to make more of a connection, and men are more animalistic and can separate the act of sex and coming from the pomp and kind of relationship building that really kind of occurs with women.
Yeah. I would love,
there's feminine and masculine energy. And I think that can exist. Women can have masculine energy, men can have feminine energy, but I think those two things exist within ourselves, and men are just more prone to getting down to the get down. And I feel like women want to have more of a connection. I may be wrong, and some listeners may correct me, but again, I'm not an expert. I'm not a woman. I'm me.
And
I'm trying to, I'm trying to figure it out as I go along as well. So, but yeah. It is interesting to think about.
No, I that's how I feel. I know I usually wait till the third date, and it's more just because I want to know what I'm getting myself involved in, because I'm not good at compartmentalizing sex with feelings. So at least if I've had a couple of dates and I'm like, this isn't someone I would want to date, then I can go, well, now I can have sex with them. You know, I'm just, so whereas if I have sex on the first date, I might end up liking them just because of the sex, and then seeing them more because of the sex and thinking that it could be a relationship, when then I end it with them and I'm like, I wouldn't have been even friends with that person. What was I doing? So that's why I do a more of a time limit. But I do think for me, and I'm a woman, but I'm just one person, like you said, maybe other women are different, I feel a connection with sex. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to learn to compartmentalize that as I get older. So I really actively work on being like, that's just the fucking Oxycontin or whatever it gives me. I don't know.
Right. Oxytocin, Oxycontin. Get you. You'll end up having sex for Oxycontin.
Yeah, and I think as well with men too, like what women struggle with is that, like, being like, oh, I don't like that, and the man being like, I know better. So that's why I was asking more for the consent and stuff. Like, I've had a bunch of guys choke me even though I've said not to, and I'm like, what is going on? I've never I'm not like joking here. I don't like it.
Well, I feel like with choking, like, you can put a soft hand on the neck and then be like, do you like that or whatever, and then go from there. Like, I don't think you should be like, is it okay if I choke you, you know?
But I also don't think they should just do it. They just do it and then you say, I don't like that, and then I've had a couple of guys who've done it again after, and I'm like, wait,
no,
I've actively said I don't like this.
No, I'm sorry, that's terrible.
Yeah, but I have a lot of women I speak to, that's the thing, where men will be like, let's say we do this podcast, men will be like, tell us what you want, like, we really want. And then you'll have instance where you'll tell and they might not listen or get defensive. Like, I know exactly how to make me come from your mouth in like 2 minutes. I'll just tell you what to do. And I've had guys who are like, oh, thank you. Yes. Yay. And then I've had other guys be like, I'm trying, or get defensive, or be like, I can't do that. And you're like, now you're going to be here for another 20 minutes, pal.
Maybe they're in it for the love of the game. They want it to take longer. Maybe that's
yeah,
what they want.
maybe, or they just don't like being. They just don't like getting directions.
Yeah, no, men are very hard headed.
But is that what it's like for you when you have sex with a man, or you're just like?
I'm bad at sex with men. I'm so bad at blowing men. It takes too long. It takes forever. I get tired. I'm checking my watch. You know, when I'm blowing a guy, I got my hand on his dick backwards so I can look at my watch. Because it's just taking forever and I don't like it. I'm not even really a fan of cum, you know. I don't even know why I do it. Maybe it's some sort of like Catholic guilt thing of like, you deserve shame, you know. I don't know. But I have this fantasy of doing it, and then I do it in the middle of it. I'm like, this is taking forever, you know. Good God. I really empathize with you guys are heroes, you know, having to take forever while we're trying to come and you know, it's a lot, you know?
Yeah, and when lads complain about, like, licking clitoris, I'm like, all you gotta do is just move your tongue around. And even if you get tired, you can move your teeth sometimes, or sometimes they do their nose, or whatever. But I have to literally put that thing down my throat.
Really, what you do is you just glom onto it like a barnacle on a boat, and you just suck, you know? You just wear it like a scuba mask, and you breathe in the air of life.
That's yeah, so for us, if a guy's taking too long, and if he has a big penis as well, and you got to be like, Jesus, I wish we didn't eat dinner an hour ago. And then you got to like mentally tell yourself, please don't vomit, but keep looking at him so he knows that you're enjoying it. Oh, Jesus, you're going to be sick. Don't gag too much.
Well, when I'm with a guy, like I love noises and dirty talk and, you know, hearing a woman moan and make noises. It's a real big turn on. And I've had guys make noises and I like giggle. I'm like, you sound stupid. You sound ridiculous. You know?
I love when a guy makes noises when you're blowing him though, because then it's just like, okay, I'm doing it the way you like it. Cause yeah. it's like a nice little like, okay, this is the right speed. This is what they want.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean I like it, but sometimes the noises they make are so funny. I'm like, you gotta chill out.
This was great. Thank you so much. I'm very lucky to go. Will you tell the listeners where to find you?
Yeah, sure. You can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, ianimal69, IANIMAL69. Follow me on Twitch. I Twitch stream, play video games. It's a good time. twitch.tv/ianimal69. And I have a podcast, Bye Guys, with Zach Amico on Gas Digital every Thursday at 11 a.m. And Ian's Infinite Playlist on Sirius XM Radio, channel 99, every Friday at 1 p.m. with plays throughout the weekend and on the app.
This is great. Thank you so much. You guys can hire us to go give all the sex ed classes.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll be, I'll on the road, I'll do, you know, stand up. I should just turn my act into a sex ed class.
Well, that's basically, I started doing all these sex ed videos and then I was like, what am I doing? Yeah. I was doing like, this is where the clitoris is. Pubes are okay.
Yeah, I know. We need to be the heroes that are needed in the world. We're not the heroes people want. We're what they need.
Exactly. Jesus. We're going to save the world one clitoris penis at a time.
One diagram at a time.
There should be, you know, you said there was the hairy, ugly vagina. I still think that should be there. And then there should be like a bald vagina, because some women want to have bald, and then there should be like a trimmed vagina, and then there should be like when they do the diagram, they should do also 7 different types of vaginas, because every vagina looks different. So the girl, there's just so much they have to do.
Totally different body types. They should make some of them hot, so you're not like repulsed by, you know, the body and body parts you're seeing, you know. But I mean, they should have some uggos in there, some fats, some skinnies, some hots, you
know. Talk about smells.
Yes.
Because the many times girls will just go, oh my God, am I smelling? Is this normal? Is this normal? Is this how it's meant? Like, we're all just having mild panic attacks all the time because we don't know basic things about our body. It's mad.
Totally. It's total insanity.
Well, I'm going to let you go. I love you.
You too, Kate. Bye. Fun. Thank you so much. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening. Please go follow Ian. He's absolutely amazing. Great to have him on. And again, please sign up to the Patreon, patreon.com/shiftpodcast. If you could rate, review, screenshot all that, tell your friends and family, unless you're like mortified, like, oh, I don't want to be saying I listen to this. Just airdrop people a picture of it on the train. Did they do that in Ireland? No, but thank you so much. And thanks, as always, for supporting. The Patreon is pay as you go. And yeah, and of course, as usual, please email me, DM me, whatever. If you have any advice or topics or guests you want, all of that, please do. And have a lovely week. And I will talk to you next week.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.